Support for WPR comes from Stone Harbor, a Door County resort and conference center overlooking the historic Steel Bridge in Sturgeon Bay. Details about hosting a wedding or conference are at stoneharbor-resort.com.
Support for WPR comes from Present Music, performing honest music with guest violist and curator Nadia Sirota, May 9th at 8 at the Milwaukee Art Museum. Tickets and info are at presentmusic.org.
It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickard is off today. She'll be back with me next week. Today on the show, we're hearing from the three Democratic candidates running to become the state's next attorney general. They face off at a primary election next week. The winner goes on to face Republican Brad Schimmel, who doesn't face a primary opponent on the Republican side. Before the news, we talked to Jefferson County District Attorney Susan Happ. Later in the program, we'll hear from Wisconsin State Representative John Richards. With us in the studio now is Ishmael Ozan. He's the Dane County District Attorney. He joins us here in our Madison studio. Ishmael, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, as always, we'll start with the basics. Why are you running for Attorney General?
You know, I love this state. I'm a sixth-generation Wisconsinite. We can trace Ozan's back to 1842. My grandpa taught high school here in Wisconsin and high school in Colorado. And in Colorado, he organized the teachers union there. On his way back to Wisconsin, he helped organize the retail clerks union. And when he got back here, he headed the school for workers and wrote books on Wisconsin labor history. My father was also a teacher, and my mother just retired from the Madison Metropolitan School District after 30-plus years of teaching. But she was also one of the first female welders at Kuffer Ironworks here in Madison. That's now the Goodman Center. And in 1964... she was the youngest member of SNCC, going throughout Mississippi, registering people to vote, risking her life, and searching for the three civil rights workers who died the first day of Freedom Summer. So my family has taught me a lot about the importance of justice, the power of the law, the importance of family and community, and the value of being a public servant, which I've been my entire career. And that's why I'm here running for state's attorney general, to serve the citizens of the state of Wisconsin.
And tell us a little more about your background in law and politics and why it sets you up for this run for attorney general.
Well, I've been a frontline prosecutor for 14 years in the second largest county in our state here in Dane County. I'm also the only one that has experience running the day-to-day operations of a statewide agency, and not only any statewide agency, the largest one we have, the Department of Corrections, that had 10,000 employees and an operating budget of $1.2 billion. And now I'm Dane County District Attorney, working with law enforcement, not just to be tough on crime, but to be smart on crime.
Before we dig into particular issues, can you define the general role that you think the Attorney General should play in Wisconsin?
Well, public safety is job number one, working with law enforcement to face some of the toughest challenges we have, heroin and opiate addiction, increased severity with domestic violence, internet predators, human trafficking, and child abuse and neglect. These are things that I deal with on a daily basis, working closely with law enforcement here in Dane County. But the Attorney General must do more. The Attorney General must make sure that women have the ability to make their own health care decisions, must stop voter suppression, must vigorously enforce our environmental laws, protect our clean air and clean water, and protect our consumers and our seniors.
Let's talk about your involvement in Act 10. In 2011, you filed an open meetings lawsuit against legislative leaders over the way they passed that budget repair bill. Why did you feel it was important to pursue that case?
Well, access and notice are essential to our form of government. They're essential to our way of life. And some have tried to paint that as being a partisan attack. And I just say that they don't understand what it was about. It was about defending the access of citizens to access their own government. It was about making sure those who write the laws are actually accountable to those laws.
So looking at the three Democratic candidates, I've said already on the show that some people might look and say, generic Democrat, so we'll come out of this and run against the Republican. How do you distinguish yourself from Susan Happ and John Richards in this primary race?
It's leadership and experience. My experience is second to none. Obviously, there's no one in the race that has the history or experience running a statewide agency, Democrat or Republican. I am running the second largest county's district attorney's office here in Dane County. And we know what has happened the last two times Democrats have put up candidates for attorney general that have not had prosecutorial experience. I believe the citizens of the state of Wisconsin expect and deserve their attorney general to be a frontline prosecutor. And I have been for 14 years, trying hundreds of cases from first-time drunk driving to first-degree intentional homicide and everything in between.
We talked to Susan Happ about combating the heroin epidemic. That was on your list of public safety issues. We've heard a lot about heroin and opioid addiction in Wisconsin over the last year. How would you, as Attorney General, try to help get this problem under control?
Well, the reality is this. We're not going to prosecute ourselves out of this heroin epidemic. And the reason is we truly don't understand how big it is at this point, because people are being introduced to heroin, or actually opiates, through legitimate means, through prescriptions for sports injuries, car accidents, pain management from their physicians. And because of that, we don't truly understand how big of a problem we may have. That said, when we do prosecute people, many times we're prosecuting them for reckless homicide, for having a part in the death of somebody due to an overdose. And many times that is somebody's best friend or longtime companion that has died. And that is the person we are then prosecuting. And so we need to realize that heroin is ripping our families and our communities apart from the inside out. And so when we start talking about what it's going to take to combat this, we're going to need education. We're going to need to try and get to the root cause of what's bringing people to the system, to the criminal justice system. And if that is addiction, we should treat that in a meaningful way if we can.
Are there things you can do as the Attorney General to work with local law enforcement to help make those things a reality?
Well, actually, yes. There has been an expansion of drug courts, which is an alternative court. And the alternative courts in the criminal justice system are our best model for treatment in the criminal justice system. You're seeing veterans courts, OWI courts, drug courts. We just revamped our drug court here in Dane County, which we've had for 20 plus years, and we historically have been a pre-conviction model. Historically, throughout the state, most drug courts have been a post-conviction model. We have added a post-conviction component here. I've also added in our diversion program a counselor specific to opiate-addicted offenders, and that counselor is also working on a risk assessment tool specific to opiate-addicted offenders, which likely is the first one in the state and possibly the nation, and we hope to be able to share that with others so that they can use a risk assessment tool when it comes to these offenders.
Turning to another public safety problem that unfortunately Wisconsin is known for, drunk driving. In the past, you said you're in support of criminalizing first-time drunk driving offenses. Talk about that, and how would you handle the additional strain that might put on the Justice Department and the court system?
Well, you know, we are the only state in the nation that doesn't have a first-time offense, drunk driving, as being criminal. And yes, last year, I believe we had 16,000 plus OWI firsts. There was actually more, because obviously if you create a serious injury or death, you're not charged with technically an OWI first. You're charged with homicide by intoxicated use. Those still, 60% of those cases with great bodily injury or death are first-time offenders. And we just had a sentencing for one of those out of an accident that happened, or not an accident, but an incident that happened in Sun Prairie. When we are talking about what's going to happen if we make the first-time offense criminal, I think people will look at it differently. I don't believe we'll have 16,000 incidents in the state of Wisconsin. I think that number will drastically drop because people will take it more seriously. There are two conscious decisions before someone drives intoxicated. The first is to drink or to take the intoxicant. The second then is to get behind the wheel of a car. And we know that it is so dangerous that it's like firing a loaded gun into a crowd. You may not hit anybody, but if you do, you're almost certain to cause great bodily harm or death. And I think we're seeing a culture shift in Wisconsin where people are tired of losing lives senselessly on our roads.
Moving to another issue that's been in the news a lot this summer, federal judge Barbara Crabb ruled that Wisconsin's same-sex marriage ban, the constitutional amendment, was in fact unconstitutional. The current Attorney General, J.B. Van Hollen, has been appealing that ruling. As Attorney General, how would you proceed?
Well, I believe the court has ruled. We need to make sure that we aren't sponsoring state-sponsored discrimination. It's not too long in our country's history that my marriage may have been considered illegal. And why would I want to do that to anyone else?
But as Attorney General, the legislature passed this. The voters voted for it. Isn't it your job to enforce what has been voted in and fight it out to the logical conclusion?
If there is a good faith legal basis to do so, yes. And I'll give you an example. We, in our not too far distant future, our past, we had 6,000 inmates at the height of the time we had people contracted for incarceration outside of our state. That is a practice that does not foster stronger communities, stronger families, or a safer environment for us in the public. I don't agree with it. I don't think we should do it. That said, the state has an ability and a right to contract for those services. So I would, as Attorney General, have to defend that practice as Governor Jim Doyle had to when he was Attorney General. But there has to be a good faith legal basis, and I think that's where you start. The nice thing about our system is we're not like the federal system where the Attorney General is tucked under the executive. The Attorney General here stands alone and is answerable only to the people. And you are not required to argue against yourself, argue against your opinion. If you say you gave an opinion, you aren't forced to take the opposite position. Now, the governor or the other branches of government have the ability to hire special counsel in that event that you as Attorney General make the determination, if it was me, that there is no good faith legal basis to defend the ban on marriage.
We're talking with Democratic Attorney General candidate Ishmael Ozan, and you can join the conversation now at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question for the candidate? Are you wondering where he stands on a particular issue? Call 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're talking with Democratic Attorney General candidate Ishmael Ozan. He's one of three Democratic candidates running in next week's primary election for the office. If you've got a question for him or are wondering where he stands on a particular issue, call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Go right to your calls now with Stephen in Janesville starting us off. Stephen, hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me?
Sure can. What's your question?
My question is what your guest's opinion is on recent states have passed legislation such as Colorado and Washington on legalizing cannabis, or some people call it marijuana. What his opinion would on that is, if the people in Wisconsin voted for something like that, would he be opposed to it? Would he be for it? Or I guess if he's got something in the middle, I just kind of want to know what his opinion is on it.
Thanks for the call, Stephen. What do you think about marijuana legalization?
Well, I think that's a legislative issue, and I would hope that the legislature takes it up. I can say this. You have Colorado and Washington that are moving down that road, and so there is an ability for us to watch what happens. But what law enforcement is dealing with in our communities right now, boots on the ground, is more armed home invasions, armed robberies, and murders related to marijuana trafficking. And that is a public safety issue for us right now. But that is a legislative issue, and I would recommend that you contact your legislators, and hopefully they will take up the issue.
Thanks for the call. We'll go down to Greg with us in West Bend. Greg, hi.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Hello.
My question for Ishmael is, what is your position on voter ID?
Well, I think that is a solution looking for a problem. I'm the Dane County District Attorney, and we are in the second largest county. I can tell you the issues that we see with voting, and that every one of the 71 elected district attorneys handle around the state when they come up, do not amount to something that would call into question any of our elections. And I think we need to be very, very careful when ever we put a hurdle in front of people exercising their most essential right to vote. I mean, we need to realize people have given their lives, people have risked their lives, people have been beaten into within inches of their life just so that people could have the opportunity to vote. And we should always make sure that we are not putting other hurdles in front of that most essential right to vote.
The state Supreme Court has ruled that the voter ID law passes constitutional muster. Still at play in the federal court, though. As Attorney General, do you defend the voter ID law in that federal court?
Well, I think Judge Adelman has ruled so far in that case, and I think that right now that's a correct ruling.
So would you, if it proceeds up and then you take over the job, do you continue defending the law as the current Attorney General is?
No, I don't believe that there is an issue with our elections and the integrity. I think that the ramification, the real life issue with the voter ID law is that it disenfranchises, close to 300,000 possible Wisconsinites who may not have an ID. And that is unacceptable.
Thanks for the call, Greg. We'll go to Ron in Milwaukee now. Ron, hi, you're on the air.
Yes, we also have another huge problem in this state, and I don't want to diminish it by calling it a problem, but that is the incarceration of young and adult African-American males. And we are known as probably the worst in the country for per capita incarceration of these males. Would you do something, and what would you do to stop the prejudicial or discriminatory arrests, court system, and the incarceration of this population?
That's a very good question, and that's a question I get, I think, at every stop I've made getting all over this state. And the reality is, yes, Wisconsin's being known for being the best for being the worst at this point in time for racial disparities as well as opportunities for children of color. We cannot fix this problem from the back forward, and I've seen the system from the front at the local level and at the state level, all the way to the back. We need to start talking about what brings someone to the system. And let me just say this. If you commit a serious crime or a violent offense, you need to go to prison. That said, if we can get to the root cause of what brings someone to the system, whether it be mental health or addiction, we should do so in a meaningful way. So in Dane County, we've increased our diversion counselors from 5 to 7, one specifically for opiate-addicted offenders, one for intentional physical abuse of children. We are creating a youthful offender court for 17 to 25-year-olds so that law enforcement can refer straight to the community court. If they successfully complete, there is no entry into the criminal justice system. There is no entry onto CCAP. There is nothing to follow that young person into their adult years or for the rest of their lives. We are also addressing our violent offenders here in Dane County, and we are notifying them. We are partnering with the City of Madison Police Department and other local and federal law enforcement officers, and we're telling our violent offenders no more violent offenses. If you commit another violent offense, we will prosecute you to the fullest. We will ask for the maximum penalty. That is not the power of the program, though. The power is that we have just as many community providers standing with us saying no more violence. But we're here to help connect you to resources, whether it be stable housing, employment, mental health counseling. So the community is actually being proactive along with law enforcement to focus resources on those who have a history of victimizing us and helping them rehabilitate themselves and stay out of the system. So, yes, we need to start talking about who is coming into the system if we are going to get a handle on this and strengthen our communities and actually make ourselves safer.
Ron, thanks. One more call for Ishmael Ozan, candidate for Attorney General. We have Lauren in Eau Claire. Lauren, hi.
Hi. My question is actually kind of along the lines of in the same area as the last caller. I'm calling about privatizing of prisons, the privatization of prisons that's happening in some areas of the country, as well as the privatization of Department of Corrections. Wondering what the candidate's stance on that would be, and also if he has seen any movement like that in Wisconsin.
Lauren, thanks.
Well, I believe it's currently illegal for private prisons to operate in Wisconsin. Obviously, there were contracts with some of the private prison providers when we did house people out of state. Those contracts are no longer because we do not house inmates out of state at this point in time. I don't believe that those institutions make us safer. I think that the Department of Corrections, at least in the state of Wisconsin, when I was deputy secretary, had a track record of increasing GEDs or high school diplomas and increasing education opportunities for those that we had in custody. And we need to do that along with having real opportunities to reconnect people to the community when they get off of supervision or out of the institution.
Briefly, can you leave us with a final message to voters for next Tuesday?
You know, the one certainty that we have in this race right now is that the Republican is coming at us with 23 years of experience from one of our larger counties. And we need to put our best foot forward. We need to put someone with adequate leadership and experience. This position is far too important for us to have someone learning as they go. I am the only one in this race with experience running the day-to-day operations of a statewide agency, 14 years of frontline prosecutorial experience, and a proven track record of standing up for all the citizens of the state of Wisconsin and our shared values. I believe I'm the best candidate to win in November, and that's why I'm asking for people's support and their vote on August 12th. Thank you. And early if they'd like to vote prior to then, because we still can do that in this state.
Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Ishmael Ozan. He's the Dane County District Attorney. He's one of three Democratic candidates in the primary election for Attorney General. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Today on the show, we're hearing from the three Democratic candidates running in next week's primary election for the office of Attorney General. The winner will go on to face Republican Brad Schimmel. He does not face a primary opponent. We've already heard from two current district attorneys, Susan Happ of Jefferson County and Ishmael Ozan of Dane County. Now we turn to the state legislator who's thrown his hat into the ring. John Richards is a state representative from Milwaukee. He represents Wisconsin's 19th Assembly District. He joins us now from our Milwaukee studio. Representative Richards, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, Rob. Great to be with you.
So what is leading you to run for Attorney General of Wisconsin?
Well, I'm running for Attorney General because I believe we need a strong, experienced leader who focused on protecting our families and who will stand up for our values. I'm a lawyer, a lawmaker, and a small business owner, and I believe that for the Attorney General, priority one is a safer Wisconsin. It takes leadership, it takes teamwork with local law enforcement, and it means taking bold stands. So this year, for example, when local law enforcement lacked resources that would help put violent criminals in jail and ensure public safety, I listened, and I led the fight for those resources. And that's why the Association of State Prosecutors gave me their top award last year. And my leadership in the fight to make roads safer in Wisconsin through stronger drunk driving laws caught the attention of Mothers Against Drunk Driving, who also gave me their top award last year. So when it comes to making our communities and roads safer, there's no room for politics. But I do believe it takes someone experienced and working with people of opposing views to do the right things. And I've worked with both Democrats and Republicans to tackle issues that threaten our public safety. Together, we've passed bipartisan legislation to fight the scourge of heroin, to protect victims of domestic abuse, and to reduce the threat of sex predators. But I believe that protecting our families is about more than what we think of as crime. It's also about protecting our communities, our pocketbooks, and our freedoms. And I believe Wisconsin needs an attorney general who can lead the fight on many fronts and do the whole job of protecting our families.
Well, get into a little more to your legal and political resume and how it would inform you as attorney general.
Well, sure. I've been a lawyer in private practice for 20 years. I still practice law. Obviously, this campaign has taken me away from my practice a bit. But I've had a practice where I've worked with middle-class families on a range of issues over the years, Rob, and that's certainly helped inform me in this race to see the struggles that middle-class families and working families face in our state and know very clearly that we need to have a strong champion in a seat as powerful as the Attorney General's office to stand up for people and do what's right. You know, and I'm the only candidate in this race of either party with a track record of working through the tough details as a legislator of protecting our environment, on health care, on public education, on civil rights, on women's rights, and in making sure we have an open government.
Both of your opponents say that a district attorney is needed to win this election to serve as attorney general. That's the one qualification they have that you don't. How do you answer that?
Well, I have the broadest range of experience of anybody in this race, Democrat or Republican, and especially at a time that we're living through where we have important constitutional questions on the table involving marriage equality, a woman's right to choose, pay, people's rights in the workplace. Those are all issues that are front and center before the attorney general's office right now. And I think we need to have someone with some strength and experience who can have a steady hand and a firm hand in making sure that we stand up for the rights of our citizens.
Let's start getting to some of the particular public safety issues that face us here in Wisconsin. First of all, heroin and opioid addiction has been all over the news in the last year or so, growing problem in the state. As Attorney General, how would you help combat this problem?
Well, I think we have to take it on two fronts. First, obviously, we need to make sure that we stop heroin from coming into our states and in our state and redouble our efforts to work with local law enforcement to make sure the Department of Justice is a strong partner with local law enforcement to track down people who are dealing heroin and trafficking it. And I think there's a lot of room for improvement there, and that's something that we really need to work on and develop. But we also need to make sure that we have the resources in place so that people can kick the heroin habit. And it's very easy for people to get hooked on heroin, oftentimes with tragic, horrific results. And that's happening in counties all around the state. And families from every walk of life are being victimized by heroin. That's something we have to acknowledge, and I think we have to increase our funding for treatment programs. We also have to do a better job of public education and working with our partners to make sure that everybody understands that there's no such thing as a safe dose of heroin.
Turning to drunk driving, another big issue in the long haul, really, here in Wisconsin, where do you stand on the idea of criminalizing first-time drunk driving offenses?
Well, I'm for it, and I'm for it because I think we're seeing an uptick in the number of people who are hurt and killed by drunk drivers each year in Wisconsin. We are the only state that doesn't criminalize first offense drunk driving, and I think that at a time when our roads need to be safer, I think this is a sensible step to take, and a bill that I drafted this year would move us along in that direction, and I think it's the right way to go. But I also think we need to do much more to address drunk driving. You know, criminalizing drunk driving isn't the only thing that's going to make a difference. We also have to do a better job of treating people who have chronic alcoholism, to intervene in those situations, to make sure that we have ignition interlock devices on cars, to stop people from driving drunk if they've been caught once. And there are a range of things that we need to implement to make sure that we're keeping drunk drivers off the roads. We also have to make sure that there are good rideshare programs in place in places all around Wisconsin.
As Attorney General, are there things you could do, whether we're talking heroin or drunk driving for that matter, to help local police departments do the things you've just outlined?
Yes, I do. I mean, first is a basic issue of money and resources. And people always need to remember that the largest way that local police departments get their funding is through the state budget. And as a former member of the state budget committee, I know that process very well and will be a strong advocate for resources to come to our local law enforcement officers who are really on the front lines of keeping us safe. And that's something that I'll certainly bring to this office that none of my opponents can bring.
Turning away from public safety issues for a moment, big news in Wisconsin this summer with a federal judge ruling that the state's same-sex marriage ban, the constitutional amendment, was itself unconstitutional. The current Attorney General Van Hollen appealing that ruling. As Attorney General, what would you do? How would you proceed on this?
Well, I would not defend those laws. I've made that very clear because I believe they violate the 14th Amendment of the United States Constitution. I've always opposed the marriage equality ban that we've had in place in Wisconsin, and I think it was unfortunate when it passed, but now it's become very clear that it's unconstitutional. Courts around the country nearly unanimously have found that the United States Constitution forbids those bans from being in place, and that's taking place not only in liberal bastions that you might expect, but in places like Virginia and Oklahoma and Nevada, where people, and Utah, where people are judges are coming to that conclusion. It's clear that in terms of our constitutional analysis and the way that we are looking at our citizens and our rights in our country, that the time for marriage equality has come. And I will not stand in the way of marriage equality in Wisconsin. And frankly, I've been disappointed in the way that our Attorney General, current Attorney General, has handled this, not only doing everything he can to throw a roadblock in the way of marriage equality, but going so far as to suggest that local county clerks might be prosecuted if they marry people in the short window that we had when marriage equality was legal in Wisconsin. I think that's wrong.
Doesn't one, as attorney general, have an obligation to, work with the will of the people in this case, the people who voted this constitutional amendment in, the legislature that passed it? Isn't it the attorney general's job to fight for that in federal court?
The overriding responsibility of the attorney general is to uphold the Constitution of the United States, the Constitution of the state of Wisconsin, and the laws of the state of Wisconsin. And let me be clear. There are the vast majority of laws that are passed, that are on the books, even many that I may have voted against as a legislator, are constitutional, and I will fight to uphold them if they're challenged. I think in a couple of cases where we have very basic, important constitutional rights in question, I've made clear that I will not support those laws and not defend them, because I do believe that it's important to defend the constitutional rights of Wisconsin citizens.
Well, on a related note then, voter ID legislation, our state Supreme Court just ruled that it is constitutional with one small adjustment, still a live issue in federal court. Do you defend Wisconsin's voter ID law as Attorney General?
No, I have some real reservations with that law, because it would potentially disenfranchise 300,000 Wisconsin citizens from exercising that most basic American right, the right to vote. And what we found after a lengthy trial in federal court was that there was no evidence of widespread voter fraud that would give rise to a law like the voter ID law that we passed, the most restrictive law of its kind in the country. And I believe that it's important that we stand up for citizens' right to vote. And that's something that I will do as Attorney General. And let me go a step further and say I think it's important for the Department of Justice and the Attorney General to stand on the side of people who are trying to cast their right to vote, and to make sure that we root out voter intimidation and voter suppression, and to stand for the principle that everyone who's eligible to vote should be able to vote.
We're talking with Democratic Attorney General candidate John Richards. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question for Representative Richards? Do you want to know where he stands on an issue? Call 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're talking with State Representative John Richards. He's one of three Democratic candidates running in next week's primary election for Attorney General. If you've got a question for Representative Richards or are wondering where he stands on an issue, give us a call now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. Go to a caller now. We've got Paul on the line in Wausau. Paul, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I've been listening into the program, and it sounds like all the candidates have pretty similar views on all the issues. So it really comes down to distinguishing who you like the best and who you think is going to be the best leader in the position. But my question for the current candidate being interviewed is you're already in a position to probably influence laws much more than you could as Attorney General. As Attorney General, you mainly your decision as to whether to prosecute something or not. Why are you leaving the legislature and when you're certainly billing yourself as an effective legislature who can work across party lines, and maybe we need you in there more?
Paul, well, thanks for the call.
Well, that's a great question, Paul. I think the Attorney General's office has an enormous amount of power to do good for the people of Wisconsin. It's a constitutional office that's responsive to the people of Wisconsin and has its own independent power. And let me give you one example of something that we can do with the Attorney General's office that I think is important to address. We've had the Hobby Lobby decision that came down from the U.S. Supreme Court recently. And some people have been misinterpreting that to say that Wisconsin companies can now choose not to provide contraceptive coverage to women who have health insurance. Well, that's not what that decision said. And unfortunately, we have a disagreement between me and Governor Walker on that front. And I'll tell you, if he's in his role and I'm the new Attorney General and he continues to hold that role, I'll sue him to make sure that he follows Wisconsin's laws that clearly say that Wisconsin companies are required to cover contraceptives.
Thanks a lot for the call, Paul. In the last couple of decades, Wisconsin's prison population has boomed. In your view, is this a problem? If so, what role, if any, should the Attorney General play in reducing the incarcerated population?
Well, we have a problem with a huge incarceration rate and a racial disparity rate. And those are two issues that we have to address, frankly. But we also have to do it in the context of making sure that we keep our communities safe. And I think we can do both. There are a number of innovative strategies that are being implemented around the country to make sure that we keep violent criminals in jail and that we provide options to people that might be different than jail, but hold people accountable for certain actions. So, for example, the drug treatment courts that are operating around the state that are working very effectively to make sure that we get at the root causes of a person's crime, if it's an addiction or a mental illness, those are the things that work very well that not only make someone turn someone in from being a criminal into a productive citizen, but also keep our communities safer, because if they're a productive citizen, they're not committing crime. And as an added benefit, we learned that those programs save us $2 for every dollar that we invest. And so it's a good use of our money, something that I've advocated for and will continue advocating for as an attorney, as Attorney General. And those programs are operating all around the state in large counties like Milwaukee and very small counties like Bayfield County that has a very aggressive program on this front. Trempealeau County also. So no matter where you are in Wisconsin, we're seeing these programs take root and be effective, but we need more of them, and they need to be better funded.
Talking to Democratic Attorney General candidate John Richards, taking your calls at 800-642-1234 with your questions for what he would do as Attorney General. Terry is on the line now in Arkdale. Terry, hi.
Hi. I have a question. I've been listening to the interview, and he states that there's some laws that he doesn't agree with, so like the gay marriage and the voter ID, so he wouldn't really stick up for the state of Wisconsin people. My question is, are you going to pick and choose what laws you're going to fight for, the ones that you agree with or the ones that you don't disagree with?
Now, the standard that I would use is the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the state of Wisconsin. And look, everybody running for this position, Democrat and Republican, has said that there are certain laws that they won't defend. And for me, I'm guided by the Constitution and citizens' rights under the Constitution. That will inform all of my decisions in that area. And as I've said many times, the vast majority of laws I will defend. And there are certain cases, though, where you have an important constitutional principle at stake, where our citizens' constitutional rights are on the line. And at that point, you need to stand up for our citizens.
Thanks for the call. A recent op-ed in the Capital Times called on the next attorney general to put open government as a top priority. As attorney general, would you make a commitment to open government? How would you do that? How would you promote transparency and open government?
Well, I think the first thing we need to do is enforce the open meetings law and open records law in Wisconsin. And yes, I would make open government a priority. And I think that's important right now, especially in the age that we're living in, when you have court decisions like Citizens United that has opened up the door to unlimited amount of money coming into our political process. I think now more than ever, we need to make sure that we are opening the doors of government to everybody to see what's going on. And it's unfortunate that over the last 8 years, there hasn't been a single enforcement action by the Department of Justice on the open meetings law or open records law. Under my watch, that'll change. And I've worked already with the Wisconsin Freedom of Information Council to have the legislature comply with the open meetings law and open records law. In fact, they gave me their top award 2 years ago for the work I've done in that area, and I'll continue working on that as Attorney General.
We also talked with Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter Jason Stein earlier this week. He wrote a piece on how laws in Wisconsin are increasingly being decided more in the courts than by legislators like yourself. Is this just how laws are being hashed out these days, or do you see a problem with that?
Well, I think we're going through a pretty extraordinary time in Wisconsin where people are pushing the boundaries of constitutional rights in the workplace, in healthcare, in a variety of ways, and that is being played out in the courts because very important constitutional principles are at stake. You look at Act 10, for example, which is I think by anybody's definition, a major, major change. I think it was wrong to do. I disagree with it. We've had the Supreme Court of the state of Wisconsin give their final say. I happen to agree with the dissenters on that I believe the law violates the Constitution, but the Supreme Court has had its say, and now that's the law. But I think when we have laws like Act 10 come down the tracks, of course they're going to be challenged because very important constitutional principles at stake, something as important as people's rights to freely associate under the First Amendment. I think those are very important constitutional principles that I think deserve some scrutiny.
We'll go to our phones again. We've got Robin on the line in Madison. Robin, hi.
Hi.
Hi, Robin.
I had a question. Idealistically, I really like everything that you're saying, but on a practical level, I'm wondering how you would contend with a governor, whether he's with your party or not your party, who says, this is the law that we've submitted to the legislature. The legislature has passed it. It is now the law of the state. But you know that under the federal constitution, it won't uphold muster. What if that governor says, you know, you have to go out there and support it?
Right. Well, I think that's one of the reasons why we have an independently elected attorney general. And I think that's one of my responsibilities is to uphold the Constitution and to take a hard look at those questions to make sure we're upholding the constitutional rights of our citizens. And I think now is the time in our state's history when we need to have someone who is going to be strong and is going to stand up for our citizens and knows how to have a constructive conversation with people to prevent these things from happening, prevent unconstitutional laws from passing, but also has the strength and experience to know when you have to act and to act decisively. And that's certainly something that I will do.
Thanks for the call, Robin. We've got Chuck on the line in Roxbury now. Chuck, hi.
I have two quick questions. One would be on the criminalizing the first offense. It's my understanding that a large number of cases approaching 30% go through municipal courts, and criminalizing it would force them all to circuit courts, and that's really why it hasn't happened yet. And the second thing I'd like to comment on is education programs. A current attorney general offers everything from school safety to child predators to heroin around the state. I've attended some of those, and I'm just curious what this candidate's plan would be for education programs.
Well, sure. Well, let's talk about education first, because I do think that's an important step to take. For example, over the last 2 weeks, I talked about bringing a senior citizen advocate into the Attorney General's office to make sure senior citizens are protected from scams and from abuse, and that they know who to call if they're scammed or abused. The first step in there is a well-informed population that knows about some of the scams that are out there that are common, that entrap people. And the second step is making sure they know who to call if they are scammed. And that's a very, very important part of the process. With heroin, it's the same thing. When we see something as widespread as heroin that's impacting families all across this state, we have to redouble our efforts to educate people about how dangerous heroin is, to recognize the signs of someone who might be addicted to heroin if they're in your family, and to know where to call if you see someone dealing heroin or if you find someone who's addicted. Those are all things that are critically important to do. And so those are all very important steps for the Attorney General to be taking, and I will certainly continue that and expand on those efforts.
And briefly, his question, would criminalizing first drunk driving offenses clog courts?
Well, I think it would increase the workload, but I also think that we can fund to make sure that we have the resources in place to take care of that workload. And I know that we have roughly 16,000 first offense drunk drivers in Wisconsin a year, and it would take an increase in resources for district attorneys and the courts to do that. And I believe that if the legislature passes a criminalized first offense drunk driving law, that it also needs to pass along the resources to accommodate that, because our courts are already overburdened and our district attorney's offices are already understaffed. And that's one of the reasons why I have been talking about making sure that we increase staffing in our district attorney's offices around our state. That is a critically important issue that we need to address going forward, not only for drunk driving, but for everything else that's going on where we already have a shortage of manpower.
Very briefly, a final message to voters for the primary?
Well, look, I will work with anyone who wants to see a stronger, safer Wisconsin, but I'll not back down from our basic right to a safe community in a state where the playing field is fair for all families and working people. And as Attorney General, I will be a fighter who will stand up for the people of Wisconsin to make us safe and make sure that Wisconsin is as great and as fair and as decent as our people.
Representative Richards, thanks for joining us today.
Great to be with you.
That's John Richards, state representative from Milwaukee. He represents Wisconsin's 19th Assembly District. He's one of three Democratic candidates in the primary election for attorney general.